Thank you, Freddie, for sharing that. An eyewitness account of what God has done, right? And that's really what witnessing is. We were reminded of that. Men are going through a series back home. And what witnessing actually is, really is simply that, just an eyewitness of what God has done in your own life, right? So you say, I'm going to go witness. Well, what does that mean? Just give an eyewitness report of what you have seen. That is the most convincing witness that you could ever have or ever be, is a representation or an eyewitness of what God has done. So I know it was already mentioned, and I guess I've pondered this the last couple weeks, especially in different phases or aspects of my life. So I'm going to ask the question too, what did you expect coming here? What did you expect coming here? Obviously, I don't have that answer for you, but I guess I've just pondered that, even just back home in church. What do I expect? And hopefully for each of us, and if we dig around all of the other things that we imagine, you know, coming here, you imagine, well, I wonder what the place is like. I wonder what the beds are like. I wonder if I'm going to sleep good, you know, all of that. But, like, hopefully beyond all of that, I hope if you get down to the bottom of what you've come for, my prayer is that you've come expecting God, right? And that God will meet us there. God will meet you there. So, anyway, that's not my topic this afternoon. It was asked more specifically if I'd have something along the lines of, yeah, you guessed it, technology. But so this is, I don't know. I guess they figure since I'm probably the youngest of the ministry here, I might know them about the best. I'm not sure that that's the fact, but there is one fact that I do know. That the earlier on in life you are acquainted with something, right, the more it just becomes a part of your life, right? And so you ask Dave or Ed back there, you know, does this have significant effect in your life? You'd probably say, yeah-ish. You ask any of us, if this has a significant effect in your life, we probably all would have to say, well, yeah, right? And I guess I've come to realize that. And realizing, so as I've pondered this, and I've talked on this over the years some, realizing that the first iPhone literally just came out in June 29th of 2007. That is actually not that long ago, if you think and ponder where we're at today, right? June 29th of 2007? That's what, almost 14 years ago. So all of us, obviously, you know, we've all have seen, it's been a part of our lives, but I guess I've just pondered this, how quick and how fast 14 years can happen, and what can all progress in 14 years. Go back even further. The first cell phone was available to the public in 1983. So even that's not that long ago. But of course, now you can run just about anything off of your phone. You can run the house and your lights, unlock your, start your car, unlock your house, open your garage door, whatever you want to do with your phone, basically, right? And just, again, just to ponder the trajectory almost that you could say and how integrated they are to our lives. You can do all your shopping, buy all your groceries, have them show up at your door, right, in a matter of minutes. There's not a whole lot you can't do. So again, this being a topic, I want us to, in some ways, and focus has actually been a word already mentioned several times today. I want us to refocus, I guess, is my prayer, my goal, to be able to refocus. from distractions, from again, when you look at what has developed over the last 14 years, it's cool, it's intriguing, right? But I think we have to be, I know we have to be very careful to not just fall right into the devil's trap. I know that. And so I'm not saying anything that I don't think any of us aren't aware of today. I think we all realize it, right? We all realize there's in some ways, there's an issue with this thing, and there's a pull, there's a drag into, and I'm not just talking about a phone, but just, again, the whole culture of it, right? So I don't think I'm talking about anything that we don't know or realize. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Again, this first part, I may be talking some about the effects of this, but I want us, again, I want us to primarily get, and hopefully that's the effect of this weekend, is that our focus is that we are laser-focused on one thing, right? That we are laser-focused on one thing, and that's God himself. So again, when I ask you the question, what did you expect when you came here? My prayer is that you expect God and God himself. So 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And yes, he will use your phone, right? I think we can all just acknowledge and shake our heads to that. And maybe some of us have fallen prey to it already. Maybe it's one of those temptations that we're constantly trying to resist. But there's, as we heard spoken very well already, flee temptation, right? Okay, I got a question, and we're not going to stay on statistics the whole time, but who can tell me, give me your best guess to the average time per day that an adult spends on the phone in the U.S.? Give me your best guess. Whoa. Yeah, I hope none of those are a fact. Well, let's go average, right? Remember, this is average. But that's a long time. Anyway, average in the U.S., it's 3 hours and 43 minutes, average, okay? I hope you're not saying, well, that's not too bad, because that is actually a lot of time when you put it into perspective, all right? 3 hours and 43 minutes, average. That an adult, we're not talking kids, we're talking adults, that are well capable of doing a lot with 3 hours and 43 minutes, right? Anyway, and I realize here also that time isn't the only thing. Obviously, the other thing that's accessible or that's there is content, right? Again, what are you gathering in those 3 hours and 43 minutes? My prayer, I hope, that's not the case here, but again, that's an average. But again, time isn't the only thing; it's content, and as was already mentioned, the fact of in these apps, in these what's on this phone, they have the smartest minds working on getting you to spend more time on their platform. Right? They're not dumb. These people that are developing these apps, right? They're the smartest people in the world trying to figure out how can we get people to spend more time. And so things like relative content, you know, they know exactly what you like, right? And so the thing of, well, let me get on YouTube to watch a quick tutorial or quick video. An hour later, right? Still there. And you wonder, how did I get here? Again, they're not dumb. They know exactly what they're doing, right? And we think, well, we can just go through life and avoid the conversation. Hopefully not. That's why I'm here. So, they know what you like, they know what you're doing, they know what you're watching, they know how long you're watching it. And the longer you watch it, that means you must like it, so you must like that content, so they're going to feed you more of this content. And so it's just this bubble, as we heard last night, of things you like. And somehow it's like, wow, they you know, you're constantly intrigued by things you like. But anyway, there's a lot of smart people doing that, trying to figure out how they can keep you on their platform longer. But okay, laying all that aside, turning this into how does it apply to us today? In reality, I believe, and I'm a strong believer of this, that it is affecting our spiritual senses. I really believe it is. And so I want to talk about that. I believe it's affecting our spiritual hearing ability. When we're talking about spending this time and gathering this content and, you know, as was mentioned already, these second sources. And, you know, you may say, well, I like all spiritual things, and so all that I read, watch, you know, listen to is all spiritual. But is it the clear and simple word of God? But again, I believe it's affecting our hearing abilities. You know, I believe it's hard to hear from God when you constantly have something else or someone else you're hearing from, right? So I think there's actually a lot of value in taking a week like this and actually being intentional about turning it off. You know, and I know we all face it, but you spend a little time in the Word, reading the Word. If you don't get any inspiration within the first 5 minutes, you move on and do what? Maybe get on social media. What did you just do? Read the Word for 5 minutes. Give God a little part of your time. Well, God's not saying anything today. All right, I'll get... Right? Imagine if we would do that with each other. Sit there for 2 minutes and... never mind. I got better things to do. But again, this is our attitudes. And then we wonder why God doesn't speak today. Why can't I hear God's voice? Have you given him the time? Have you given him the attention that he wants? Or we can't get any clarity for our lives. I had this thought the other day as I was pondering this. I was like, can you imagine what would happen if Moses would have had a phone? And just, can you imagine if, you know, he's in the desert tending to his father-in-law's sheep, sitting there on a rock, you know, surfing the web, and sees off the distance there a burning bush. Then what? Of course. Hold on, I gotta get this. Hold on, let me post it, and then hold on, let me see how many likes I get from this. You get the picture though, right? How easily we miss when God wants to speak. We see something intriguing, we're like, oh my, actually, you know, let me get me a part of this picture. And again, it's a selfie world, right? That's a whole other, I mean, that's the whole topic you could get into, but just imagine that, though, how quickly we miss the heart of God and God speaking to us because, oh, I got to share this with someone or I got to send it to someone. And God's saying, look, I just wanted to speak to you and you missed it. You thought you had to share that with everyone else and then you're sitting there waiting for all the comments and all the likes and you're not even hearing from me. You're just hearing from them out there. So again, this... It's a challenge to me, but instead Moses he tuned in, right? He tuned in, didn't have a phone. Again, I'm not here saying phones are the devil. I hope you can hear me, but at the same time, I believe there's something that Moses was able to tune in, and God was able to speak to him. (Clears throat) One of the abilities I think that we've lost, that I think it affects the technology, whatever you want to call it, is the ability to focus. I really honestly think that's one of the key abilities that technology has in how it's affected us, in our ability to focus. I believe one of the keys, like I mentioned already with Moses, I think one of the keys of the men of old was their ability to focus, to key in, and to focus on something, to focus on God. Obviously, that's we're going to get into that a bit. I want to look at a few verses. I'm just going to read them. You can write them down if you want. But I found it interesting as I went through this, how many times this phrase is mentioned, one thing. And I just did a quick search. I didn't do a whole lot, but Psalm 27, verse 4, this is David saying this. He said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." I think David had it right, one thing. And that was his focus. It was. We can tell it from his life. That was his focus. He said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord." Paul said it like this in Philippians 3, verse 13. He says, "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." You look at that and you say, well, isn't that two things? The reality of it, I believe, is this thought of where one thing I do, and that was that he was reaching, right? He was reaching. He could have forgot those things which are behind him. Again, he could have come and repented of all of those things, but in that, in true repentance, it then turns to something and reaches, right? And so that... Paul said, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Daniel said it in Daniel 9, verse 3. He doesn't say necessarily one thing, but he says, "Then I set my face toward the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." He says he set his face. Again, you see this focus, right? And I guess that's the challenge I want to leave with us today, is this thing of a focused heart. One thing. Jesus said it, and this was there with Mary and Martha. It says, "Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Mary was focused, right? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Then I find this, it says, Martha was what? Distracted, right? And I believe this is one of the things that I believe technology, phone, the digital age has done to us. It's brought a lot of distractions. And it says specifically that Martha was distracted with much serving. And Jesus said, he said it this way in Luke 10, 42, he says, "But one thing is needed." One thing is needed, okay? Here you have one thing. And he says, "Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Martha was distracted with much serving. I think in today's modern language, we could probably say we're distracted with much surfing, right? If you want to put it in honest terms. So again, I know I'm not saying something that we're not aware of, and probably all of us try to weigh it, try to gauge the amount of time we spend on our phone. What's the antidote, right? And I want to, I guess that's my heart today is church, yes, your church. One thing, right? One thing. And that is focus, and allowing that to be, allowing God to be that one thing. again, not to be distracted with a lot of this stuff that pops up, the dings and the dongs and the likes and the comments, but to be able to put all that aside and to focus. It's so important. Again, here's a statistic, and it comes from the world, but applies to us. But it says that it takes an average of 23 minutes and 15 seconds to get back to the deep focus you had on a task once you've been distracted. 23 minutes and 15 seconds after distraction. And yes, I know a lot of us cannot multitask. And as much as we think we can, I still think there's a distraction is still a distraction, right? But think of that. 23 minutes and 15 seconds, an average, to get back into the deep focus that we had before a distraction. Think of what that does in our walk with the Lord. If we're constantly distracted, constantly hearing from something else, someone else, what does that do to my time with the Lord? 10 minutes into it, a ding or something, and just a quick look. Well, how much has that taken our focus or just simply distracted us, right? So again, I want to look at this area of focus. And I guess I've pondered it recently of this. Really, I think it is. I believe it is. It's a discipline of a believer, being able to focus. It is a discipline of a believer. I pondered a little bit the example of a camera lens. When a camera lens has bad focus, right, you get an imperfect or an unclear, you get an unclear vision, right, or an unclear picture when it has a bad lens, right? When you get a camera lens with a good focus, what happens? Some of you guys are photographers here. Oh man, there's nothing like a good camera lens that has good focus, that can zero in on an object, right, and give you a good, clear picture. And this is, again, I believe the ability of a believer is this area of focus, where we can focus in on one thing. As David said, one thing I've desired, and that will I seek after. And when we're able to see the picture more clearly, you get revelation, right? You look at a picture that has had a good camera lens, gives a good focus on the area that the photographer was trying to key in on, and you look at that picture, and you know they say a picture says 1,000 words, right? And you just get revelation of I didn't see that little flower in the background there. You know, again, this is I believe this is the fruit of someone that's focused, right? A life that is focused. There's revelation there. We all know these verses, but let's turn to them. Hebrews 12. Verses 1 and 2. So focus, again, the discipline of a believer. Being able to focus. And this is what I want to challenge us with. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. All right? So we get the picture of a race and a runner here. And I'm not going to go into all of those because I'm sure we've heard that expounded before. But again, there's a race to run. Each of us have a race to run. Okay? You have a part, and we can't get around it. But it's let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The writer here is saying, let's lay aside every weight, right? And again, let's lay aside every distraction, everything that can weigh us down or distract us. Are we willing to lay it aside? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then he says, looking unto Jesus, okay? And we have already heard this mentioned today, but I'm going to keep going with this. Looking unto Jesus, right? Focusing in on Jesus. And is this our lives? I hope it is, but if it's just partly your life, or maybe your lens is a little foggy, or maybe it's got some smear marks on it, or maybe it needs some work done, allow that to happen this week and let your lens become clear so that you can focus in on Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've already heard that explained. If he's there, where are we? We're in Christ, right? So there's a lot in these verses, but looking unto Jesus, keeping our focus there, keep your eyes ahead on Christ. That is the finish line, okay? Christ is the finish line. And so in order to get to the finish line, that's where we need our focus to be, right? We already heard if you're driving and you focus on something off the side of the road, sure enough, you will end there. You will end up on the side of the road. But let Christ be our focus. Let Christ be our goal, our purpose. Not even some level of spirituality, not a level that we try to attain to, but it's Christ himself. And that's what we're running after. One writer put it this way: he's not only the object of our faith, but he's also the author of it. And this is the part of even just that we can trust our God. So when you say even about, well, again, we heard it so well just earlier today about faith, what faith actually is. But this writer says, Jesus, he is the great leader and the precedent of our faith. He trusted in God. He is the purchaser of the spirit of faith. Amen. The publisher of the rule of faith, the efficient cause of the grace of faith, and in all respects, the author of our faith. So, again, he not only is the object of our faith, but he's also the author of it. He's the one that created it. And so it's in him, it's through him, it's by him, it's for him. Amen? So let's not be distracted. Again, a runner doesn't compare himself to the others running. Again, if you're going to look behind and see who's behind me, or what's beside me, or what's here, sure enough, you will veer off. But if your focus, if your aim is Christ, Christ alone, obviously, that will get us to the end. And I know, I guess I bring this up because I know it takes discipline. In a world of opportunity, I'll say it. In a world of busyness, right? Which in a way you would say, well, we're busy because there's opportunity, right? So in a world of opportunity, in a culture of opportunity, don't get distracted. Don't lose your focus. Don't let your lens fog up. And it takes discipline. It takes discipline in our times with the Lord, in focusing, in focused time with the Lord. It takes a willingness to lay off some weight. Again, if it is a weight to you, if it's a distraction to you, are you willing to lay it aside? Right? The promise of God to through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." It's a promise of God. You will seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart, with all your heart, focused. And let me tell you, Christ and living, being in Christ, having a life filled with Christ is better than anything out there that you could ever imagine. And that's one of the things I'm not totally sure that we're all convinced of that yet. Because I would question that a little bit. Well, obviously, I would actually ask myself too, am I totally convinced of that? Because if I am or if I would be, where would my focus be, right? And so if you doubt that today, ask God to reveal, to give you revelation of who he is. Because again, this is not, we could talk all week of trying to explain who God is, trying to make it attractive and all that, but it really comes down to the revelation of God to your own heart. And so that's why we need to seek him with all of our heart. Because it's through revelation that we are changed. So, again, I guess I want to ask the question, where has your focus been? And again, to reiterate that, the way to make the straightest line possible, I have this thing about making straight lines when I mow the yard. Anyway, it's probably a Lancaster thing. I don't know. Is it? Okay. When I'm trying to make a straight line to mow my yard, there's one thing that I do, and I put my focus on an object, right? Anyway, can anyone else identify? It's not just me. All right, good. I just thought I was weird like that. But you just, again, I'm behind the mower, and again, Jesus talks about this in the plow, right? You know, you put your focus straight ahead, and you just start walking, right? And you don't lose sight of that thing. Because as soon as I start looking over here to see if am I straight, you know what's going to happen? I tend to do this thing, right? Or you tend to do this thing. You keep your focus straight ahead. And sure enough, at the end of the road, at the end of the day, when you make it to eternity, you can look back and say, wow, how did that happen? Simply it was your eyes were on Christ, right? Your eyes were on Christ. So the way to make the straightest line possible is put your focus on the thing in front of you that you're heading for. And Christ is the object. Christ is the object. So let's not let distractions, especially in this digital age, as I mentioned, it's actually kind of a newer problem, you could say. And I'm not sure that the older people understand it every time. I think they do in a way, but there's a lot there. There's a lot that draws our attention to it, right? I think we can all identify with that. But am I willing to check my heart? Am I willing to allow God to search me and to try me? You know, we could look into a lot more. I had thought of the life of Solomon. Of course, we know he started out well. What happened, though, at the end? It says that his wives turned his heart after other gods. He had married heathen wives, something God had specifically said not to do. Speaking of going against the word of God. But it says that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. I don't know, I think there's a danger in some of this. Marrying, I'm not totally against it. But I think there's something when we make a marriage to it, a covenant with it. Obviously, you're not making a covenant with, but you know what I'm saying. Giving yourself to it, giving your life to it, giving your heart to it, allowing yourself to just fall in that place of giving yourself to it. There's a danger there, I believe, that it turns our loyalty from God, from the focus of God and Him, His desires, turns it to self-gratitude, and the things of the world. So again, it's maybe more of just a challenge for us all. Are we willing to allow God to search us and try us and see if there's anything there that would hinder us from focusing? Again, that's the goal here, is focus, to have a clear picture, a clear focus, and let our lens be completely focused on Him. Why don't we stand? God, we do just acknowledge today, Lord, that it is by Your Spirit, and Lord, it's by revelation of who You are, God, that we are changed. And so, God, we just ask that even today You would, Lord, as You've challenged us in through Your Word, as You've challenged us, God, in maybe even identifying things in our lives that have distracted us, like Martha was distracted with a lot of things. I pray, God, that You would give us the spirit of Mary, the heart of Mary. Lord, that our desire, and Lord, out of that desire comes the actual doing of just sitting at Your feet and listening. Sitting at Your feet and just focusing on You and just allowing You to speak into our hearts. And Lord, to not settle for just 10 minutes of, well, I did my duty. But Lord, to let it be the posture of our lives, God, to sit at Your feet. Let it be the posture of our minds, God, just to be focused on You, and that our minds, our gaze would be on You, that truly we could behold You, Lord. We could behold Your glory. We could be focused on You, Lord. Lord, out of that will come the life and the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, out of a life that is totally focused on Christ and Christ alone. So God, have Your way in our lives today. Thank You, God, for this opportunity. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.